Fresh Imani Ghana report reveals rising public discontent with the performance of the NDC government over the past 6 months, highlighting a decline in public trust and controversies over selective prosecutions and governance inconsistencies.
Imani sentiment analysis reveals that the government faced a dramatic perception crisis in the first 6 months. The first part of the 6 months, there was a lot of cautious optimism, but that has been reduced down the line because of issues like Galamse, arrests and arbitrary arrests of opposition party members, and of course, the issue with the judges.
We speak to government for a response on this. Our top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel Connect and Energies and also by Shield Pension Trust. Into the future with you. My name is Samuel Kojo Bruce. Now, Ghana's political landscape is experiencing a dramatic shift over the past 6 months, with the NDC government's initial wave of optimism giving way to growing discontent among Ghanaians. Fresh report by Imani Ghana reviews a dramatic transformation in public opinion of the President John Dramani Mahama's administration's performance. Now, the report highlights a decline in public trust, citing controversies over selective prosecutions, mass dismissals, and governance inconsistencies. The NDC government started with a strong positive sentiment, around 65 to 70%, following President Mahama's inauguration and the launch of the Resetting Ghana agenda. However, according to a report, the optimism began to falter in March, with sentiment becoming sharply divided. Now, the government's mass dismissals of public sector workers and President Mahama, the nickname Terminator One, which fueled perceptions of political vindictiveness. Negative perceptions also rose due to the controversies like the private jet scandal, Operation Recover All Loot, Oral, which faced doubt over selective justice, arrest of MPP critics, often in Rambo-style operations with vague charges, and dropping corruption cases against NDC members. Well, let's get more on this particular research. We joined via Zoom by the Vice President of Imani, Selam Brantia, for a breakdown of the Imani Post report. Selam, grateful to you for joining us here. Now, I mean, first tell us about the methodology that you adopted in gathering the data. Hello, Selam.
Okay. Yeah, hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. So I wanted you to take us through the methodology that you adopted in gathering the data.
Yes. So good evening to your listeners and to the general public, listening public. Yes. So we have been doing this Imani Pulse since last year, basically getting views from social media. So basically what we do is that we do what we call scouring social media pages using automated tools and AI tools, basically because you cannot get all everybody's reaction off of the internet. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is that there are certain statistically designed models that are run on algorithms that you are able to use to pick out information that has been posted. So some of the pages that we monitor are the big news spaces, like, for example, like Joy News' Facebook page, as well as its Twitter handle. And then we also have very ranked, social media influencers whose pages are monitored. And then what happens is that when these news items come up or when these issues come up, we are able to download all the comments and reactions. And what we do is that we filter them according to the language and according to what we call the sentiment, whether the language, the sentiment is positive or negative. So this is still new technology, or this is still technology that is being evolved, but it is getting more and more accurate at defining feelings when people put out certain comments. And so where the comments cannot be really determined or understood, then they are perceived as neutral. But where the comment is overly positive, then you'd see something like the NDC government is doing very well. kudos to the government. Such a sentence is definitely in the positive direction. Or if there's something like the government is not doing anything with regards to Galamsey, very clearly it is negative. So we have a model that is able to take all of that and then siphon the information and distill it to look at the frequency of those who give out positive, clearly positive sentiments, and then clearly negative sentiments. And so we used that historical approach to tackle or to gather data on people's responses, people's posts, as well as news items that were very topical from January all the way to June to come up with this report.
I mean, how representative are these views, if it's from social media, and whether or not we are able to tell whether this is coming from an NDC-inclined person or an NDC-inclined person?
Well, so like I said, most of it comes from, they are randomly, randomly picked from different things. But what we normally do is that we use what we call mentions. So there are certain keywords that are very important when we are doing this. So some of the keywords for this particular research was where you would see the mention of NDC or President John Mahama or NDC government. Or a hashtag that is like, let's say, a hashtag that is associated with NDC related posts or any posts as such. So because we're looking at the performance of the NDC government, the keywords that we used are posts that contained NDC, NDC government, or President John Mahama, or President Mahama, or John Mahama. Those were the major keywords that we used to extract the kind of post that came. So when you have it like that, then you know that the context of the discussion is centered solely on the party or the government in power and its perception. So through that, you can even glean some hashtags that are being used. So for example, issues then related to oral, issues then related to Galamsey, issues then related to the private jet, as you've talked about, issues then related to the arrests of certain key opposition members or certain key members of public, issues that were related to, the changing of several appointees in different organizations. All of those came up in some of those posts. And then from there, we're then able to then say that, okay, if these were the posts that were there, then we distilled the feelings or how people perceived or how people reacted to these. So you cannot definitely tag somebody as MPP or NDC because some people might say something about one a particular topic and say something else about another topic. So for example, with the issue of oral, most of those who were very optimistic in the beginning or around the beginning time of the survey or of the analysis, I'll say, between January and March, maybe to April, were very optimistic about the prospects of oral. Then somewhere after April down to June and even till now, there is now a bit of what you call impatience around whether oral is really going to deliver or not. So you cannot say, for example, that this person is purely NDC or purely NPP. But basically, based on the kinds of comments that come and the frequency of the comments, then these sentiments are picked up if more and more of the comments are skewed towards one direction or the other, just so that the insights can be gleaned.
So was the distrust or the trust in oral, which is weakening, is it influenced by the cases that the Attorney General dropped that people perceive to have been cases associated with NDC people?
So that was one aspect of it. I think somewhere in April or so, there were some cases that the Attorney General announced were going to be dropped. The chief among them was that of...
We had Collins Dauda issue, we had a Stephen Oponi case, Latuforsen, yes. And that of Kwabena Dufour.
Case Latuforsen, Kwabena Dufour's
case. But KCL's case was dealt with by the court. Was it also part?
Yes. Yes. So that one didn't have as much traction as the others. It was some of the others that really hit the traction. KCL's case was just discussed because most people had it mentioned. But the most of the negative perceptions were rather on the other cases. But even beyond that, some of it has also been on the perceived inaction in terms of prosecuting some of the other new cases or scandals that have come up. Chief among them being the seeming lack of information or progress on an issue like the NSB, that's the National
Signals Bureau.
The National Service issue, as well as a few others. And of course, there was at a time, I think somewhere late May, early June, around the time when the controversy around the OSP's designation of the former finance minister Ken Oforiatta as a fugitive, the declaration of him as a fugitive and putting him on the red list on the on the Interpol's list. So those were some of the issues that really came up very strongly, and people beginning to think that, well, there's nothing going on, so they are beginning to lose trust. Okay. Whether it was the fact that their cases are not being prosecuted or brought to court, or the people are not seemingly being brought to book. Those were the things that were happening. Some of the biggest issues also was the arrest of people like Chairman Wontumi, et cetera, which had a lot of, comments, both positive and negative. But when you look at the sentiments, you could say that it was, I wouldn't use the word balance, because as many positives as there were also negative comments about that.
Okay.
Possibly
right.
Because of the way people would even write how they feel about it. And then also the fact that some of these issues are polarizing, where you have a lot of party faithfuls on social media commenting more.
All right, Selom, do stay with me. I'll come back to you for us to deal more on the lessons the government can pick from. But I have been joined on the line by the Minister of State in charge of government communications, Felix Kwachiofo. So I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Now, first, what's your impression about the findings by Imani?
Well, let me indicate that as a general principle, we value feedback and do appreciate efforts by civil society and other actors within society to draw attention to what perceptions people hold about government and its activities. I must also indicate that because we value feedback, we also have our own tools that we use to assess public perceptions and how the public receives what we do as a government. There are many of the issues that have been raised that require further probing. For instance, the matter of prosecutions and the general education of Oral. The Attorney General has at least on 4 or 5 different occasions updated the public on the progress of work regarding Oral. On the NSB case, for instance, everybody in Ghana knows that that matter is in court, and therefore it is the court that dictates how the case runs. Currently, the judiciary is on a legal vacation, and therefore cases cannot be heard. When they return, that case will resume. There's one other case that is in court regarding the SkyTrain. And in all, there are 7 people who are standing trial. Over 80 people have been investigated. Dockets have either been built or are in the process of being built in 20 different cases. And when the judiciary returns from the legal vacation, many more cases will go to court. The Attorney General has publicly updated the public on this one. Regarding the matter involving Ken Oforiatta, that is a matter that the OSP is handling, and therefore government is constrained to intervene. When there is a need to look into other matters relating to Ken Oforiatta, that will be done, as has been the case in all the instances where allegations of corruption have been leveled against people. If we take the National Cathedral, for instance, I announced on behalf of government that a forensic audit is being conducted into the matter. Once that report is presented and government reviews it, action will be taken where it is necessary. So government is very serious about Oral. Except that, as the president indicated during his media interaction, there is a need to follow due process, so that in a bid to fight corruption, we also do not abuse the rights of citizens, which is important. As a government, we are minded to respect that, and that is precisely what we are doing. But generally, any assessment that draws our attention to perceptions and the thinking of the general public is welcome.
Okay.
We'll draw lessons where necessary and take remedial measures when we have to.
You mentioned earlier that you have your own system of measuring the perception of the public on the performance of the government. What's your system telling you about how the public see the government?
There is general satisfaction about how government is performing. You can look at the matters on their merits on an issue-by-issue basis. But generally, the improvements in the economy have been felt by all. And every person engaging in an honest assessment will concede that things are much better today than they were at the beginning of the year, in January or February, when we took over. So these tools are available to us, and periodically we gauge public perceptions where there are difficulties, as is the case in the fight against calamity. We continue to take measures to ensure that we overcome it, so the public can follow what we are doing and appreciate that we are working to alleviate the difficulties that that particular canker poses.
Well, but in terms of job creation, a lot of Ghanaians were dismissed, and we can't say all of them were politically affiliated. But do you accept that it created some state of panic among the public, because that also informed the sentiment that Imani surveyed?
We know that the New Patriotic Party made noise about that. So that in itself does not show that the entire generality of Ghanaians are unhappy. Regarding that particular matter, you recall that during the transition, we publicly stated our position that the NPP, after he lost office, hurriedly bypassed laid-down processes and packed the civil service with persons affiliated with their party. Now, that is really not a problem. The fact that they are affiliated with the NPP is not an issue.
But you can't say all of the people are affiliated of the NPP.
They bypassed laid-down processes. They had 8 years to employ everybody that they needed to employ. Yes, they lost elections, and within a matter of a month, they had railroaded people into the civil service without recourse to due process. We issued public statements indicating our opposition to this and our willingness to take action to correct that wrongdoing. As I speak to you, there's a revocation committee set up under the auspices of the Chief of Staff, which is perusing all the cases on their merits. And where it is found that due process was not followed, the dismissals will stand. But where it is shown that due process is followed, those people will be reinstated. So it is important that the matters are understood and not taken to mean that government has anything against any group of persons simply because they've secured employment. We are a country governed by rules, so you cannot bypass the laid-down process and unfairly tilt the process in favor of persons aligned to one political party or the other. That is all that has happened.
So you're saying that those who were employed in November, their processes are being, all the dismissals are being looked at.
There's a revocation committee that has membership drawn from various sectors of society. Organized labor is represented, employers are represented, people within the civil service hierarchy are represented. So once they are done and they present their report, government will act on it. But after the fact that due process was bypassed and Ghanaian law vandalized by the NPP, just so they can railroad people into the civil service upon losing elections. That is a fact which we raised at the very beginning of the transition process.
But that also has affected the public trust, which is waning in your government.
Again, we dispute the claim that that has affected public trust. I don't think that there's any public anywhere in the world that would be opposed to their government doing the right thing. That NPP supporters make noise does not mean that the entire public is unhappy about it. How can the public be unhappy that government is doing the right thing?
Well, on oral, I mean, just recently we had your General Secretary, Fifi Kwete, saying that some people within your government are cutting deals. How can you assure the people of Ghana that, in fact, people will be punished for engaging in corrupt practices? Because people say that has affected how they trusted government to deal with corruption.
What has affected how people trust government?
When your general secretary says people are trying to cut deals.
So when the president of the country tells you that he, as a president, who the backstops it, is not going to permit anybody to interfere in the process. You don't think that that is assuring enough?
Well, the survey points otherwise, that Ghanaians don't trust that the government can deal well with corruption.
That is completely untrue. Ghanaians have seen Edu Buahin stand trial. It is government itself that came out to announce that it was putting Edu Buahin on trial. It is government itself that came out that it is putting those involved in the SkyTrain matter on trial and have put them on trial. Government announced that charges will be preferred against the National Service scheme scandal perpetrators and many others that are ongoing. So I don't think that it is fair to say that the public has lost trust when these trials are ongoing. We also do know that because of the way our legal system works, persons accused of wrongdoing must be taken through due process. You cannot summarily jail or imprison an individual on the basis of accusations that they've done wrong. They must go through a legal process. So that legal process takes time. Indeed, this is the earliest in recent memory that members of a previous government have been taken to court on allegations of corruption.
Okay.
It is the earliest in recent memory.
So you don't believe the government has lost any goodwill?
We don't expect that 100% of Ghanaians will support the government. By all means, there are members of the opposition who will be unhappy that persons who served in the government that they formed have been taken to court. So they will criticize government. They will make noise. They will write. They will say things. All that feeds into the sentiment. But you cannot draw conclusive, judgments on the basis of what members of the opposition see. For instance, when Wunsimi was arrested, who were the ones making noise? Members of parliament went to sit on the floor at Yoko to protest his arrest. But due process was followed. Very soon, charges will be referred against him in a contaminating case. When he goes to court, members of the MPP will make noise. They will criticize it. It does not mean that government has done wrong and that the generality of the Ghanaian people are opposed to prosecuting Wunsimi, who has been accused of wrongdoing.
Okay. But if you take that of the MPP people aside and you take the neutrals plus your people, you are still saying that if those are estimated to be 100%, you are still having that 100% goodwill.
We believe that Ghanaians support the government in many of the things that it is doing. Again, I don't know how any neutral can say that they take offense at the prosecution of Cabinet Dubai, for instance.
Okay.
How can any neutral be offended by this? Okay. How can a neutral be offended that won't to me? Who the neutrals themselves accused of engaging in illegal mining through Akwinta Mining Limited,
okay,
has been put on trial. How can a neutral be angry about that?
All right.
How can a neutral be angry that persons who are using social media to foment hate speech, tribal sentiments, and are threatening to kill the president and behead his wife have been taken through due process? The MPP, by all means, for partisan reasons, will protest, and that is allowed. But I don't think that we can say that because they have said those things, then the generality of Ghanaians suddenly are angry at government.
Okay. Felix, I'm
the same Ghanaians who voted for this government to undertake the oral program cannot be angry that the government is undertaking the program.
I'm grateful to you, Felix Kwacho Fusu. He is Minister of State in charge of Government Communication. Salam Branche. Salam, so you've listened to government. How do you expect them to take this, and how do you expect them to react to this? I mean, the minister has spoken, but in terms of working on it to, say, regain some of the lost trust, even though the minister is disagreeing, how do you expect them to react? Hello, Salam. Salam, I'm asking, I don't know if you heard my question. I wanted to find out from you.
Yeah, I did.
Great. Okay. So what's your reaction?
Yeah. I just listened to the minister, and his reactions are what I would have expected, or I would expect from someone in his position. Of course, he is addressing some of the direct concerns that people in the public have, especially with the perceptions around inaction on certain key areas. And I believe that even from January till June until now, some of these issues still persist and are still on the public's radar. The issue is that there was a very robust campaign period last year, which meant that, and one of the biggest battlegrounds for exchange of ideas and debates or topics or whatever you would decide to call it, was on social media. And so because of that, the expectations, especially because of the rhetoric that was dominant during the campaign period, was that they wanted to see a lot of decisive action taken in certain key areas. So, for example, between February, March and April, when the CDI appreciated highly against the dollar, there were a lot of positive sentiments around that. When the government immediately came and took over abolishing certain nuisance taxes, etc., the positive goodwill was swelling. It is just that now, when they look at, or when people look at these things, they want to see more being done. And the perception is that the actions that were promised and the timelines in which they were being promised, or the timelines that they were looking at, looking to deliver them, or the zeal around which some of these things started, have diminished. And people do not expect that. So what I see from the sentiment analysis is that, yes, there are positives, but most of the negatives are what I'll call, in quotes, own goals that are slowly, where the government is slowly allowing itself to be pressured because of its initial intensity around certain issues. And therefore, of course, anybody in opposition will capitalize on that and galvanize their people to drum home these things, to first of all, to make the government look like it's not really willing to do much about certain things and that it was just plain rhetoric, or to the government itself should be able to react more decisively around certain things. So, of course, we have heard some of the excuses related to the judicial, vacation window and all of that. But then also people expect far more decisiveness from the government side. And then they are beginning to see some laxity, especially with some of how these things were treated. And sometimes asking for more time would not be enough, especially in a very, very reactive society as we have now, that it reacts instantly to issues that happen on social media.
Salam, I'm grateful to you for joining. He is Vice President Imani Africa. I've been joined by Dr. Kwame Asante, a Senior Lecturer, Political Science Department, University of Ghana. Doc, I mean, does this signal the whittling away of the goodwill the government has enjoyed over the past months?
If you read the reports, it gives you an idea that people have some concern that they've expressed. It's normal. But if you look at it against the backdrop that we are looking at a government whose mandate is 4 years, and that you are looking at the report that covers up to June, then you realize that there is more if we have more time to look at. But for this short period, not all that I can be caught.
Okay, but so you think that still there's some goodwill for the government, or there's room for government to do better and rake back the goodwill it's lost?
Oh, certainly. The government has not lost goodwill. That is a fact. It must be pointed out straight away. But there are difficulties that government is facing. That is also a fact. But as to whether the government is losing goodwill or not, that one more conclusion is that the government has goodwill.
Okay.
But except that there are difficulties. Difficulties in the area of the fight against gallantry, even though I acknowledge that it is not part of the report, but it's part of the difficulties the government is facing. But that also doesn't mean that the government has not put in anything. If you look at difficulties like arrest, detention, and all that, the Rambo style, I agree with the report. It gives people cause to worry. And if you look at it, people started raising concern, and now it has died down, and then we are seeing something different. That, for me, is heartwarming, because then my understanding is that the public sentiment has also gone in the doorstep of government, and government is working on that.
So must this serve as a wake-up call to government to say, well, I need to then do better in areas where the citizens are pointing me to?
Straight away, there's no doubt that every research, and of course, the research from Imani, credible research, So in, government should be able to take it in its stride and work on it. But there are some of them that I have my difficulty. The issue of goodwill, I'm not sure that the government is living their goodwill, but except that they are difficult, that is a fact. Issue of job that people are looking for is a problem, because up to date, you realize that we have not heard much about jobs, but we have heard about the fact that some people were kicked out of their jobs, especially those who are employed by the previous administration. These are some of the problems, but it doesn't undermine totally the goodwill of the government.
Dr. Asasanti, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. He is a senior lecturer, University of Ghana Political Science Department. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and also Shield Pension Trust. Into the future with you. Up next is Newsnight.